So the shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Emor, and the title of the shiur is Non-Jews and Sacrifices. So tonight we're going to talk about this week's parsha and the source for the concept of Goyim bringing korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. And I want to try to understand more on a philosophical basis what the nature of these korbanos are and what the Torah is teaching us in the way that the goy can bring the korban to the mikdash. There's some interesting halachos that are unique to a goy bringing korbanos. So if we look in source number one on the Mar Makomo sheet, it's Vayikra Parachav Bez, and it's Pasuk Yud Ches. It says, Daber el Aharon vel banav vel kol bnei Yisrael vel marta alehem ish ish mi beis Yisrael min ager bi Yisrael asher yakriv korbano So Hashem says to, so it says to speak to Aaron. Moshe should speak to Aaron, and tell his children and all of Klal Yisrael that any person, any man from Klal Yisrael, and anyone who lives amongst Klal Yisrael who wants to bring a korban, nedava, korban neder, or korban nedava, should bring it as an ola. And then it says, Nyut Tesler Tzonchem. Tamim zachar babakar baksavim vaizim. So in order for the korbanos to be acceptable, they always have to, they should be male, and it should be from cattle, sheep, or goat, and they have to be tamim, they have to be without mum. And the next pasuk says, kosher bo mum lo sakrivu ki lo l'ratzon yelachem. Any korban that has a mum is not a good korban in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan. So the korbanos have to be tamim. They have to lack any type of mum, any type of blemish. So in these three psukim, it introduces us, the Torah introduces us to the concept of korban neder nedava, and we'll explain what that is. And there's a subtle hint to the idea of non-Jews bringing korbanos, which we'll see through the mefarshim. But the first question that we're going to take up is, what's the difference between a neder and nedava? So I always had a very halachic answer to this, but I saw this Ramban, and it's an interesting Ramban that I wanted to go through about the difference conceptually between a neder and a dava. So look in source number two. It's on this pasuk. It's on Yud Ches. It's the Ramban. And he says, Nidrehem ha-omer ha-rei alai nidvosam ha-omer ha-rei zu, Lashon Rashi. So the basic difference between a neder and a dava is that when you say ha-rei alai, it's upon me to bring a korban, that's a neder. And if you say this is a korban, that's a dava. So it's just a different lashon, it's a different type of language that you use when you designate an animal for a korban. But then he goes on, Vanir be'enai, the Ramban says, it appears to me, ba'avur sh'amar akasav lefalei neder olindava, it says in the pasuk, it always uses the word lefalei, which the Ramban will explain by neder or nedava, v'chein yomar b'chol makom b'parshas nesachim, v'chein ki yafli neder b'erkecha nefashos. When you're involved in a rachin, so it says when you're yafli a neder, and v'chein beparshas nazir ki ha neder hu abal adaver shi pali mimenu. So why does the Torah always use the term hafla yafli ba neder? So he says that you bring a neder on something that's wondrous. That's something yipale means wondrous mimenu from him. She yidur la Hashem b'tzarlo. So a neder is made in a situation where you're basically begging Hashem to do something miraculous or wondrous to save you from a situation of tzara. And in exchange, you'll bring a neder to Hashem, ki'inyan, and they bring a proof. Vayidar Yaakov neder leimor im ye elokim imadi. Vayidar Yisrael neder la'Hashem bayomer im nason titain. Vayidru nedar mechein kulam. So anytime you find a neder in the Torah, it's always in a situation where, let's say the Jews, they want to win at war, or by Yaakov, that he wanted to be protected. So in exchange for the protection, he's going to bring a neder. So neder uses the word yipale from the idea of wondrous, miraculous, and it's the idea that when you say to Hashem, if you save me from this situation, I will bring this korban. That's the type of situation that's defined as a neder korban, a korban neder. But then he goes on, Rabbeinu Amru, Ezuhu Neder, Ha'omer Hare Alai Ola. What's the Neder? If you say Hare Alai Ola, Nidava Ha'omer Hare Zu Ola. Again, it goes back to the Lashon of how you designate it. Uma Bein Neder L'Nidava, Neder Meso Nignav Chayav Achar Yuso. So the Gemara and the Mishnayos go through the difference. Lahagid hachalok shebeinehem. To teach you that there's a difference between nedarim and nedavos. Ki derech hanodrim bitzarasam lemor im yelo kim imadi bezel lai lasos olo zevach. So the nature of a neder is that when a person says, if Hashem is with me, so I'll bring a korban. Vezel lo yikra nedava stam, that's not a nedava. Vashi yafrishu v'yitein miyad hu nedava. Whenever a person feels the spirit of giving, the willingness to give, that's nedava. And he says, kiba is hamtein nadva rucha osa. At the time that he gives it, his spirit of generosity overtakes him. Vine omar akasiv ki bein shi yakriv ola ushlamim masher nadar al tsaraso o shi yakriv osam benidvas rucho. So the Torah is teaching us that whether you feel that you're obligated to bring a neder because Hashem protected you or saved you, or you just feel that generosity coming on through a nedava, you summon. Nevertheless, the korban has to be without mum. Ulai nachshov ki aneder roi liyoso tamim yoser min a nedava vezet tamakasev. And perhaps you would have thought, he's like saying there's a havamina, that perhaps a neder you might have thought would require this tmimus, this perfection, a lack of mum, more than a nedava. Kamash Mulan, the Torah is teaching us that both korbanos demand that they lack mum. So the first idea, and is this Ramban, I think it's a beautiful Ramban, I didn't actually know this concept before, but other than just the lashon of how you designate it halachically, whether you say ha'omer alai or ha'omer zu, the conceptual difference between a neder and a nedava is that the Ramban saying a neder is given when you feel kind of an obligation. It's like you're making a deal that if Hashem saves you, it obligates me, and you're placing the obligation on yourself because you're not chayev midin Torah, but you're placing an obligation upon yourself to bring a korban in exchange for the salvation, for God saving you. Nedava is if you feel a sense of generosity, like you want to give tzedakah. So too, if you want to bring a korban because you feel like you want to, and you just feel a willingness to bring it, that's a nedava. So the Ramban says that there's a havamina, which makes sense. He's saying there's a havamina by nedarim, by nedavos, that they might not have to be tamim. By neder, it makes sense. By nedavos, perhaps not. Kamash malon, every korban that you bring has to be tamim. So based on the Ramban's definition, it makes sense, the havamina maskana. Because he's saying the havamina is that by a neder, you feel like you owe it. It's almost like you feel it's an exchange for Hashem saving you. So, of course, you have to bring a tamim. It would be a lack of akaras atov, a lack of recognition of the good that Hashem did for you if you brought a stinky animal, if you brought a terrible animal. So it makes sense conceptually. But by nedava, where you're just giving something, like you donate money to the shul, so for example, it's based on your own terms. So the Havamina is saying that by nedava, you might have thought that because it's your own willingness to give, there are some terms of the korban that are determined by you because it's more subjective than a neder. Kamash Malon, no, any korban brought to the mikdash has to be tamim. So it's a chiddush in the Ramban that korbanos, even though they stem from your own will, so the chiddush is that despite the fact that you're in control, you're not as in control as you think, and there's a din of tmimus that, and we'll explain where that comes from, the din of tmimus. And we'll see in the different mafarshim, but there's a din of tmimus outside of the self. So I think that's what the Ramban's saying, and I think it's a really interesting concept that these different ideas. But back to the main point of the shir. So the main point is the idea of gayim, bringing korbanos. What's the nature of their korbanos? How is it different than a Jew's korbanos? So for this, we'll look at the Chizkuni, and we're going to go through some Rambams on the halachos and see some of the differences between Goyim's korbanos and Jews. And again, the purpose, the goal of the shir is to try to get to the underlying conceptual difference, not just the halachic differences. So the Chizkuni, look at the Chizkuni. He's always a good Rishon to look at. In source number 3, he says, Ish, Perish Rashi, Lamedcha, Shakusim, Nodrim, Nedarim, Unedavos, Kisrael. So this is where we learn out. And it's not just the Chizkuni, it's from the Gemara. So if you look in source number 4, I should have probably switched the sources, but source number 4, the Torah Tmima, he brings down the Gemara Menachos. And it says, Ish, Lerabos es anachrim, shenodrim nedarim unedavos ki Yisrael. So the fact that it doubles the Lashon of Ish, it's to teach you that a guy, a non-Jew, can bring a neder or nedava to the Mikdash just like a Jew, asher yakrivu l'Hashem l'ola, ainli ela ola bilvad. But the only korban that a non-Jew is allowed to bring to the mikdash is an ola. So the non-Jew can bring a korban to the mikdash, but he can't bring, let's say, an asham, a shlamim, a chatas. He can't bring any of those other korbanos. The only korban he can bring is an ola. So the question is, why? Why is the guy limited in the type of korban that he's allowed to bring? And if you look, we'll go back to the Chizkuni. So we'll go back one step. Look in source number 3. It says, Ish, Perish Rashi, Lamedcha Shakusim Nodrim Nidarma Nadavos Ki Yisrael. So this teaches us the same limud as the Gemara, that really a non-Jew, Nachrim, not Kusim, are allowed to bring Nidarma Nadavos, like a Jew. V'im Tomar. So if you want to say, typically midichsiv umiyad ben nechar lo sakrivu mikol eila, so you should learn this out from the pasuk in this week's parsha that we're going to read inside. The pasuk teaches us that you're not allowed to bring a korban with a mum from a guy. So why don't we know that, obviously if the Torah is teaching us that you can't bring a korban with a mum from a guy, obviously goyim can bring korbanos, non-Jews. So what exactly, why do we need this ish? What's this lima to teach us? So he says, So you would know that you're allowed to bring korbanos that lack a blemish from goyim. Eliyesh lomar ilav ish ish hava amina meumos haolam shekla lo sakrivu v'hamakriv mehen tmimim over belav uvale mumen belav ase. So you might have thought that from the umos haolam that in general you can't bring. Because there are umos that you can't bring from. The hamakrav mehen tamimim over balav. If you bring a tamim, you're over a lav. And if you bring a bal mum, you're over both a lav and an ase. So the chiddush is that you're not, I guess. That's the chiddush. Peruka acharina, the other explanation is, ilav ish ish, hava aminim kusim makrivim tamimim, afilu chataos ashamos. You might have thought that that as long as a guy brings an animal that's kosher, they can even bring a chatas in an asham. Tamalomar ish ish l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvosam dafka nidar manadavos l'chom kusim l'hakriv aval chatos v'asham oslo. So this is the second idea. So the first idea is that really there's not two lavim and you're allowed to bring korbanos from goyim. And the second idea, as long as you're tamimim, and the second idea is that really they're not allowed to bring ashamos and chatos, but they can bring nidar manadavos. So the question is, you know, what is the difference? It's the same question I asked from the very beginning, and the essential question of the shir, which is, okay, we know the difference between a neder and a dava, a korban, but what is the idea, the concept of the differences between the guy's korban and the Jew's korban? What is the nature of these restrictions on the guy? So we'll see in the halachos of the Rambam even more types of restrictions that I think are very interesting and fascinating, and you'll judge for yourself if they're not or if they are. And once we go through the Rambam, you know, we'll have like a more basic idea of what the different halachos are. So let's do the Rambam, okay? So the Rambam is Hilchos Maisa Korbanos, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. We're going to go through Halacha Beis Halacha Hey. So there's a lot of interesting points here. It says, Echad Anashim, Be'echad Anashim, O'avadim, Evin Kol Korbanos. Men, women, and servants are allowed to bring korbanos, all the korbanos. Avala akum, ein mekabla mehen ela olos bilvad. So the akum, the non-Jew, you're only allowed to accept a korban ola. For those of you who don't know, a korban ola is the korban that's completely, that the ba'alim and the kohen don't eat from. It's kula l'gavoa. The whole korban is given over as a korban to Hashem. So we're only allowed to accept an ola from the guy. We can't accept a shlamim, a chatas. Shenamar, as it says, and this is interesting, he says, Umiyad ben Nechar lo sakrivu es lechem elokechem. So it says in the Pasuk that we didn't do yet, but later in the Parsha, that you're not allowed to be makriv. You can't bring a korban es lechem elokechem. So first question on the Rambam, which we'll get to. The first question on the Rambam is that the Rambam is quoting the wrong Pasuk here. So the Gemara says, where do we know that a guy is only allowed to bring an ola? If you go back to the Torah Tmima, it's from our pasuk that we read, ish ish, and at the end of the pasuk it says, umina ger b'Yisrael she'akriv korban ola chol jidrehem chol nidvosam ashe'akriv l'Hashem l'ola. So the pasuk that we learn out that a guy can only bring an ola is really pasuk yodches. But the pasuk the Rambam is quoting is, on the next page if you have it, is really pasuk chafhei. And that pasuk is teaching us that a guy can't bring a baal mum, and we can't be makar of a baal mum from a guy. So one question on the Rambam is, why is the Rambam quoting the wrong pasuk to teach us that a goy can bring or can only bring an ola. He should be teaching it from the first source, from source number one, pasuk yud ches. But instead, he's quoting pasuk chaf hey, and it's which is a totally different idea. It's the concept that a goy that we're not allowed to be makar v'baal mum from a goy. So the first question is the Rambam. He's misusing the psukim. Is that clear? Hopefully, is that clear, that idea, that question? I need some feedback here. Somebody say yes, it's clear, or no. Can you repeat yourself? Feedback, anybody?
Yes, it's clear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, appreciate it.
No, it's not clear.
It's not clear? Okay, so I'll say it again. See, thank you. So the Rambam says that the halacha is that a guy is only allowed to bring an ola. He can't bring a shlamim or an asham. And it's a special unique halacha to the guy. Even though Jews, men, women, avadim, even avadim are allowed to bring korbanos outside of an ola, but only a guy is allowed to bring an ola. So where do we know this from? So the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Chaf Hei, which we didn't read yet. And the pasuk is referring to an iser to be makar of a baal mum of a guy in the mikdash and in the mishkan. But the real pasuk that we learn out, the idea that a guy can only bring an ola, is the first source. It's pasuk yed ches. Because at the end of the pasuk, and the Gemara learns it like that in Menachos, the end of the pasuk says, Asher kivu l'Hashem le'ola. So the Gemara, in source number 4, if you have the sheets, it says, Ein li ela ola bilvad. They learn out that a guy can only bring an ola from that pasuk, from pasuk yed ches. So the question is, why is the Rambam learning from the wrong pasuk? The idea, the concept that a guy can only bring an ola, he should be learning from the pasuk that we read in source number 1, but he's learning from the wrong pasuk. So is there an idea, a conceptual idea, as to why he's learning out from the other pasuk? Okay? All right, so let's just keep going. Okay. So then we keep going in the Rambam, source number 5. It says, Afilu ola sa'of mekabla min anachri, afal pishu ovid avodah zarah. So you can even accept an olas oaf, a bird from a nachri, even if he's an ovid of Odazara. So that's also strange, which we'll see in the next halacha. Why are we allowed to accept a korban from an ovid of Odazara in the mikdash, in the mishkan? Aval ein mekabel mehen shlomim below menachos ulo chataos vashamos. And again, we don't accept any other type of korban. V'chein olos she'inan ba'os b'neder u'nedava ein mekabel osan min anachri. So, and any ola that comes not from Nedava or Neder, we don't accept. So any ola that doesn't emerge from the desire of the guy to bring a korban to the mikdash, we won't accept. So even some olos we won't accept. It has to be a Neder, Nedava, and it has to be an ola. So far, the Rambam is saying, just to summarize, I know this is a complicated, because we don't deal with korbanos anymore, so it's a little complicated, but basically the question so far that the Rambam is misquoting the pasuk, and the second question is this idea that we're allowed to accept from an ovid of avodah zarah, a korban. So why are we allowed to do that? And it'll become clearer if we keep going in the Rambam. So the Rambam says nachri shehivi shlamim. So let's say a guy says, okay, I want to bring a shlamim. So makriven osan olos shahakum libo l'shamayim. You're allowed to bring that shlamim as an ola because the akum's heart is for Shamayim. Neder shlamim v'naslam l'Yisrael amenashi iskaper b'han l'Yisrael ochlan osam ha'Yisraelim kisham ha'Yisrael v'chein im naslam l'koin koin ochlan. And if a goy designates a korban as a shlamim, as a peace offering, and he gives it to the Jew to use for kapara, or the koin, so then they can eat from it. So he can't bring it, he can't eat from it himself, but he can give it to the Jew to be makriv for the Jew. So that the goy can... He's only allowed to bring an ola himself, but if he says, oh, okay, I want to bring a shlamim, but I want to give it to the Jew, and the Jew can be mechaper through it, so the Jew can use that korban. But then in the Lacha Dalet, he says, so that's also interesting. What does that mean, libo l'shamayim? What's that concept? And it's an interesting halacha. Why can't he partake of a shlamim? That's one of the questions that we're going to answer. Why just an ola? And then Lacha Dalet, look at Lacha Dalet. Yisrael shehu mumar l'avodah zarah o mechal shabbos b'farhesya ein mekabel mimenu korban klal. But if there's a Jew who does avodah zarah and he's a mumar l'avodah zarah, it's clear and he's always doing it. It's not just an error, a one-time error, or he's mechal shabbos in public. Those individuals we don't accept the korban from. Afilu ha'ola shemekablen osa min ha'nachrim ein mekablen osa min ha'mubar hazeh. Even the ola that we're mekabel from a guy, we won't be mekabel from this mumar, this Jew, who's a mumar la avodah zarah, shnemar adam ki akrim mikem. Not every Jew is allowed to bring a korban. So a person who's constantly engaged in avodah zara, or their machal shabbos for hasel, we don't accept a korban, but we would accept the same korban ola from a guy who's an ovid avodah zara. Aval imayah mumar lishar averos mekablam mimenu kol korbanos kedish shachzer b'tshuva. But if the Jew is a mumar, let's say he only wants to eat cheeseburgers all the time, then in that case we do accept olos because we hope that the guy will do tshuva. But he says hayam mumar la'avera v'hum afursam yadu lasosa v'horgaba bein lachas bein l'tiavon im mekablam mimenu korban la'osavera. But let's say a guy, he goes to McDonald's constantly, and he's always in public, and he's always showing off that he likes cheeseburgers, and he does it all the time. So that guy, we don't accept the korban from. Ketzad kigon shaya ragil lechol chilev bein lahachis bein l'tovon v'shagag v'achol chilev v'hevi chatas emikablan osa mimenu. So let's say a guy's always eating non-kosher fat, and he does it either to rebel or because he just desires it, and he does it b'shogig one time. So that person, we won't accept the chatas from. So it's interesting that there are only certain Jews that we accept, that we won't accept korbanos from, but a guy, it seems like we allow it. We allow the guy to bring an ola, even if he's an ovid avodah zara. So the question is, why? Why are we so makil on the guy, but we're more machmir on the Jew? And then the last halach on the Rambam, olos ha'akum ein mivin iman nesachim shnamar kol ezrach yaseh kacha. So the ola of the guy, he doesn't bring with it nesachim of al niskeim craven mishal tzibor. The nesachim of that are attached to the korban ola are really, they come from the tzibor, from Klal Yisrael. Shneamar kacha tasu lo echad kemisparam ve'enon tu'unos smicha she'en smicha ela b'Yisrael b'anashim v'lo b'nashim. And also the korbanos don't require smicha, meaning the gut, usually the Jew puts his hands and his full weight on the korban, in order, that's called smicha, so the guy doesn't do smicha. So we're trying to figure out, so what is the nature of the guy bringing korbanos? He's very limited in his korbanos that he's allowed to bring. He's only allowed to bring an ola, can't bring a shlamim or a chatas. He can't do smicha. He doesn't bring his own nesach. If he decides to bring a shlamim, he has to give it to the Jew. He can't bring it himself. And furthermore, he's allowed to bring one even though he's an ovid avodah zara, where there are Jews that, you know, we're more machmir on, who are ovdei avodah zara. So what's the deal? What's the deal with korbanos of the guy? That's the question. How do we explain it conceptually, or I guess philosophically, this formulation that they're allowed to bring it, but they're not really allowed to do the whole gamut. There's a lot of limitations there. Can we explain that conceptually? And that's the goal here. That's what I want to understand. Okay, we're almost towards the answer, but I want everybody to think about it. Obviously, if you have a svara at any point, hopefully actually keep it till the end. If you have a svara, just give it. There's very few mefarshim on the philosophy, but I try to pick out the ones that I found, and we'll see at the end that hopefully it explains everything. So those are all the questions out there. So one more point in source number 6, which is pasuk kafei, which was my question on the Rambam. Look at parakaf beis pasuk kafei. It says umiyad ben nechar lo sakriva eslachem alokeichem mikol eila ki mashchasam behem mum bam lo yiratzu lachem. So I didn't bring in all the pasukim in between Yud Ches and Chaf Hei, but the Pesukim mentioned all the mumim, the different mumim, the animal has one leg longer, they're all different types of mumim. So it says also from a guy, when a guy brings a korban, you have to make sure not to bring a korban with a mum, because it won't be acceptable. So the Torah teaches us this concept also, that you're not allowed to bring a korban of a guy, that has a mum attached to it. So the question that all the Mefarshim ask is, what's the Havamina? Why would you think that you could? And why not? So the Svarno, I know we're doing a lot of Mefarshim, but the Svarno has an interesting shot. He says like this. He says, Umiyah ben Nechar lo sakrivu, Afa pisha mekablen mehem nedar menedavos, lo mekamu mehem ma'le mumen afilo yidei sirus. So the idea is that even though we do accept nedar menedavos, we're not going to accept an animal that has been castrated. Alpha pish you have sarisim bebehemos mishubachim etzlam v'she'en b'zem mishum hakriveu nalif chasecha v'atam shelo yasaris ro'ilam mizbeachu. So he says, even though in the non-Jewish world having animals that are neutered and spayed are actually a good thing, it's actually mishubach. So you might think that that type of animal is good to bring to the Mizbeach because it's Meshubach in their eyes. Kamash Malom, Kimash Hashem Behem Mumbam. It's really, the Mizbeach doesn't tolerate it. Sha'afal Pi, Shehu Mum Shebeseser, even though it's like a hidden type of mum, Mashchisim Mishle Musam Hamechuvan, it takes away from their designated purpose, Vahu Sheyuchal Laholid Bedome, in that they can't really have any future animals or offspring that's similar to them. So the Torah is teaching us that this Chiddush, that you might have thought, this is the Svarno, that you might have thought that since the Goyim, they like neutered and spayed animals, like dogs and cats, which is an Isser for a Jew to do. There's a whole way around it, but we're not allowed to neuter and spay our cats or dogs or any animals. So the Goyim, they love that stuff. You know, they're into it. They think that the animal is better if it's neutered or spayed. So therefore, you might have thought that it's not such a big deal. It's actually a good thing. They're bringing the best type of korban in their eyes. It's a nadir nadava. Again, they have subjective control. They're bringing the best type of korban. It's like kain and hevel. They're bringing the best. Kamash Mulan, no, that really there's an intrinsic mum in the animal in its inability to procreate. And that's an intrinsic mum. So we don't care about the subjective qualities in the eyes of the guy, of the animal, that it is greater. But all we care about is it a mum? Is it lacking in terms of its intrinsic abilities? And it is, so that's a mum. Okay, so that's the Chiddush over there. We're still not getting to the real insight, the real idea, which is what I really want to get to. So I hope that I'm building up the suspense here. Probably not, but I hope so. So if we go to Rashi, look in source number 8. I'm just going to go through the Mefarshim, and like I said, we're going to get to the solution. So Rashi says in 8, he says, Umyad ben Echar. Nachri shehevi korban biyad kohen lahakrivo l'shamayim lo sakrivo lo balmam. So he says that if a guy brings a korban and he wants to bring it l'shamayim for Hashem, so you can't bring a balmam. V'afal pishlo nesru bali mumen lo korban b'nei noach elim kin mechusrei evar. So even though by a ben noach you're allowed to bring a korban that has a mum, the only mum that a guy can't bring is if it's lacking a limb. Zos no heges bebama shebesados. That's only by Bama, where they had these mizbechos that were built outside of on their own land and private. So there they could bring an animal that had a mum. Aval al mizbeach shem mishkan lo sakrivua. You can't bring a korban with a mum on the mizbeach of the mishkan. Aval tamima tekablu mehem. But a korban that does not have a mum, you do accept. L'chach nemar lemala ish ish l'rabos esanachrim shenodrim nedarim nedavos kiyisrael. That's why it says that you ish ish, in order to teach us that we do accept korbanos from the guy. So the chiddush that the Rashi is saying is that really a guy is allowed to bring a korban with a mum to his own private mizbeach, but when it comes to the mizbeach of the mishkan, he can't bring an animal that has a mum, even though in his framework it's only a mechusar eva that's a mum. In our framework in the mishkan, it's greater. We need a better animal, a better quality animal. So that's the chiddush. But the question is, why would you think otherwise? That's another question that we're going to take up. Why would you think that a guy, really, I mean, it doesn't really make sense, because we know that Jews have to bring cannot bring Bali Mumin. In fact, the Psukim right before this Pasuk by a guy, they talk about the fact that any Jew who brings a Korban to the Mikdash, it has to be Tumim, it can't have a Mum. So why would you think differently? And Rashi and the Svarno, they're trying to give concepts and they're trying to give ideas for the Havamina, but it still seems kind of strange as to why the Torah would assume that a guy could bring a non-tamim to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash when we know that a Jew has to bring a tamim. So why is it, you know, why is it different? So I think we're coming to the end here. One last point, and then we'll get to the Mefarshim and try to explain it philosophically. So the source for this idea that a guy's allowed to bring a korban, as long as it's not a mechusar ivar, it's not lacking a limb, is from Noach. It says, Mikol chai, mikol basar shnai, mikol tavial teva, lachayosi tach zachar nekeva yiyu. And the Torah Tumimah says, Mikol chai, amar av alazar minayin le mechusar ivar, sheosar livnei Noach, dechsev, Mikol chai, mikol basar shnai, mikol tavial teva, amar Torah, havei behema, shechaye rashi ivarin shalah. Shechayin rashi ivarin shalah. So this is the idea that a mechusar avar is asher for a ben noach to bring as a korban. So it says, "Dichsiv mikol chayim mikol basar shnayim mikol taviel teva." Amar Torah, "Havei behema shechayon rashi avarin shalah." You have to bring an animal that has its limbs, but if it's lacking its limbs, you can't bring it as a korban. Okay, fine. So we got all the information here. I'm not going to do the Torah Tumimah. It's a little long, and I'm not sure it's so relevant. So we'll skip the Torah Tumimah, but let's put everything together, all the questions, and then we'll get to the answer. So the questions again are, you know, what's the reason why the Torah is to teach us that we're allowed to bring a korban from a guy? Why is a korban of a guy limited to an ola? Why is the guy who's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, why are we allowed to accept a korban when we're not allowed to accept it from certain Jews who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who are mumar? And what about smicha and nesachim? Why can't they bring smicha and nesachim? So what exactly is the nature of a korban of a guy? How do we explain it? And one last question I didn't bring in, which is that the Rambam counts the halacha of not bringing a baal mum of a guy as a separate mitzvah. And the question is, why is that a separate mitzvah? Is it different than the regular halacha that a Jew is not allowed to bring a baal mum to the Mishkan or the Mizbeach and to the Beis HaMikdash? So what's the difference between the guy bringing a baal mum, where there's a separate iser, versus the Jew bringing a baal mum? Why do we need two isurim here? So those are all the questions. So let's get to the answers. All right. So two mefarshim that I'm going to use to try to illustrate the point are the Abarbanel and the Sefer Chinuch. So the Abarbanel gives us a little hint here in Bamidbar, Perek Tesvav. He says, "V'nei hutzrach letzavos kan al nischei hagerim u'menachos l'fi shekvar hisbar b'seder emor el kohanim she'ein mekablen menakusi kiim ola." So the reason why the Torah in Bamidbar has to go through the nesachim of a ger and the menachos is because in Emor, it talks about how we only accept an ola from non-Jews. So he says, "Shenemar umiyad ben nechar lo sakrivu v'lechem elokechem hu ha'ola." So when it says in the pasuk "lechem elokechem," it's a reference to the ola. "Kemosha armar es korbani lachmi," it says "lechem" by korbanos leishai. "Aval shlomim lo hayu mekablim min akusim," but they wouldn't accept the shlomim from nachrim. Why? "Ki lo yochlu im hakadosh baruch hu v'chonav al shulchan echad," because the nachri is not allowed to eat with the kohen and Hashem al shulchan echad. So the Barbanel tries to give an explanation. It's very cryptic, not so clear. But he says, why isn't a guy allowed to bring a shlomim? Because by a shlomim, part of the korban is eaten by the kohen and is eaten by the ba'alim. But it's not appropriate, he says, for some reason, that the non-Jew eat the korban with the kohen and with Hashem and fulfill the mitzvah of shlomim. So that's why he can only bring an ola. So what does that mean? What is he talking about? Why is it inappropriate? He doesn't really explain more. That's it. That's the only thing the Abarbanel says on this. It's very hard to find any other mefarshim. But what does that mean? What's the problem exactly with the guy bringing a shlomim? So we'll go to the trusty chinuch here, and we'll try to use the chinuch to try to get to the underlying concept. So the chinuch in source number 13 brings down the mitzvah of shalul hakriv bali mumim miyad hagayim. He says shneamar miyad ben echar lo sakriva es lechem lokeichem mikol eila. So he also treats it as a different mitzvah, and it's an iser to bring a bal mum from a guy. Shalul neamar achar shu guy nakriv ba'ado bal mum. Don't say that because he's a guy, I'll bring it as a bal mum. The hutzrecha hazar bezal lehem lefi shekvar hitirasnu hatora lekabel miyadam korbanos tamimim. So the Torah teaches us that we can accept a tamim. Kemosh neamar ish ish mi beis Yisrael min ager b'Yisrael sheyakriv korbano lechon nidrehem lechon nivosam. Uval perish alav ish ish l'rabba sagayim shenodrim nidarman nidavos mekabim osam mehem. So we learn out that you're allowed to accept korbanos. So this is the key. He says, Mishar shei mitzvah kavod abayis. Kemosh kasakti b'lav chaf alf b'seder zeh. So he says the root of the mitzvah is kavod abayis. It's really the Beis HaMikdash, kavod for the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. And when he says b'lav chaf alf, he talks about the general principle that the reason why a Jew is not allowed to bring a baal mum is that it's a lack in kavod abayis to the mizbeach. So there's two isurim. There's the isur of the Jew to bring a korban baal mum because it's a denigration of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And there's an isur of the guy to bring a baal mum because it's a denigration of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. All right, that's it for now. So what's the idea? What's here? What's the chinuch say? So I think that the main idea here is if you look through all the halachos of the guy and his korbanos, it sounds like the guy is allowed to bring a korban, but he has to be as removed as possible from the situation or from the actual korban itself. So how do we see that through the halachos? So one thing, let's say, is smicha. So smicha is the idea of the Baal creating a relationship through the korban, either some want to say, like the Ramban in general, that the purpose of korbanos is to create an identification. So smicha is part of that identification with the animal, where you put your body weight on the animal and it creates that identification. But the guy doesn't do that. He's not allowed to bring nesachim. He doesn't bring nesachim, which are an adornment to the korbanos. Nesachim, the Rambam actually says in the Mora that he doesn't understand the philosophy of nesachim in general. But the basic idea seems to be that nesachim is a beautification of sorts. It's wine. It's chashuv. It has a chashivas to it. So he can't bring that. He can't bring a shlomim, because a shlomim requires eating on the part of the baal, and he can't be a participant. A participant in the korban. So why do we allow the guy to bring a korban, and why would we allow a guy that is an ovid of Odazara bring a korban where we won't allow a Jew? So I think that's the fundamental difference that I'm trying to highlight, which is that a Jew, part of the idea of korban by a Jew is a relationship between the gavra, the person, and the korban itself. And the korban functions in a way to be miskaper for the baal, or the baal brings it and he's a participant in it, he's somech on it, he brings nesachim with it. So he's a participant in the korban. By a guy, the idea of korban is simply an idea in mikdash. It's an idea in kavod habayis. So the guy is allowed to bring a korban because it reflects a certain kavod, a certain respect for the base of mikdash, and we accept that respect and we recognize it and we see that as a good. But he as an individual is removed from the korban as much as possible. And that we see from the limitations of the guy in terms of what korbanos he's allowed to bring. He can only bring an ola, which is kul Hashem, which he is not involved in. He only designates. He can't eat. That's what the Arbar Barnel says. He can't. It would be inappropriate for him to eat with a kohen and a kaddish baruch hu of the shlamim. He can't be a participant. He has to be as removed as possible from the korban. But we accept the korban because, like the chinuch says, there's an idea of kavod habayis that the guy can. The guy can bring a korban in order to demonstrate a respect that he has and an awe of the Beis HaMikdash, so we accept it. And that's why I think that there's two different isurim here. Because by a Jew, when a Jew brings a korban that's a baal mum, it might also partake of this lack of kavod habayis. But there are many other problems that exist also in terms of the Jew's relationship to the korban, and the idea of him bringing a baal mum is a lack and a flaw in him, in terms of how he respects HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the idea by a guy is that because the korban of a guy is exclusively for the bias itself, for the kavod of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we accept it, that's why there's a separate isser to bring a baal mum by a guy, to show you or to demonstrate that that is the nature of his korban in general, and that's the Rambam. I hope I'm not speaking too fast, but that's the Rambam. See, the Rambam is saying that everything is learned out from this idea of baal mum by a guy, and the basic concept is that a goy's korban is an idea in the framework of kavod habayis. His korban cannot lack in any sense in kavod habayis, and that's the essential nature of why he can only bring an ola, and why he's not allowed to bring a shlamim, and why even an ovid avodah zarah is allowed to bring it. Why? Because all those are an idea of a lack of individualism and a lack of the gavra of the nachri involved at the korban. It's about the korban being an idea of kavod habayis, being an idea in kavod beis hamikdash, and that in itself is reflected in this iser of lo sakrivu baal mum. So hopefully this makes sense, but I think that's the underlying concept that the Torah is teaching us about the nature of the korban of a guy. A guy is allowed to bring a korban, and he can demonstrate a certain awe and respect for the mishkan and the mikdash and a kadosh baruch hu, but he has to be as removed as possible from the korban. And the halachos that guide the system of korban by a guy, they allow the guy to bring korbanos on his own outside of mikdash. He can bring a mechusar, not a mechusar ever, but a baal mum on his own mizbeach l'Hashem. But when it comes to the mikdash and kavod mikdash demands a higher level korban. And the guy is allowed to bring a korban for the mikdash and to demonstrate his attachment to the mikdash and also his awe of the mikdash and a kadosh baruch hu, but he has to be as removed as possible from the situation. And that's why all the halachos reflect that. So that is the main concept that I wanted to share in the shiur tonight. Hopefully it makes sense. But any questions on that idea? Does that make sense? Anybody? Are you guys still listening? Yes.
All right. Ginsburg.
Yes, there we go. Good. Yeah.
Would you allow a Molech to bring a korban?
Yes, because it's the same idea. When the guy brings the korban, because the the gavra of the guy is kind of removed from the korban itself, and the korban is almost exclusive of the person. So yes, you would accept it. But by a Jew, like, that's the difference. By a Jew is intrinsically tied to the korban as a person, and you can't just separate him at all from the korban. So I would say that's the difference between a guy and a Jew. A guy is an ovid of avodah zarah, and Amalek can bring a korban because he himself is not involved in the korban. He's just the one who created it in the first place. But once it's out of his hands, it's as if he's removed from it. The Jew is always related to the korban itself, and a Jew who's an ovid of avodah zarah, a mumar for that, you know, that person can't bring a korban. It's almost like it's a flaw in the korban itself that he's that person cannot be attached to a korban. But the guy, he's not attached. That's my point. The idea of a guy bringing a korban, it has nothing to do with the guy. It has to do with him bringing the korban as a sign of kavod, and it's an idea that kavod of the Mishkan and the Mikdash allows for it. It allows for this korban to be brought. So yes, even a Amalek can bring a korban. You might have to kill him afterwards, but no. But even a Amalek could bring a korban.
I have a question.
Yeah, great.
So yeah, you probably answered it, so I apologize in advance. But so why is it though that a goy cannot have that attachment to the korban versus just the mikdash? Like why did Chazal say that the goy can't have?
That's a good question. I didn't answer that. It's a good question. I was thinking about that, and perhaps the idea is that we don't really trust the das of a guy. Meaning, I think the idea is that you can't really. And that's why I think it's structured in this way. We can't really assume that the guy, his das is really appropriate, especially like we see the Rambam says in Ovid Avodah Zarah. So we don't know, you know, what his das is exactly, and we can't really allow him to distort the idea of korban. So I think that's the concept. The concept is that's why he's removed from the korban. Because Chazal.
You mean das is an intent? Like what his kavanah is like intention?
Yeah, exactly. His intention. Because like the mikdash only allows for a specific type of worship, and the guy is used to other types of worship, and we don't know what his intent is, or meaning what he thinks about this situation, the nature of korbanos. We don't know what his das is really. So we assume, obviously, unless he says he's doing this l'shem avodah zarah, we assume that his das is good. But the idea is that in general, we don't want to allow open game on korbanos for goyim because of that idea, because of the concept that their das and their attachment to avodah zarah could be a negative in terms of bringing korbanos.
So then why not across the board deny him the opportunity to bring the korban?
So that's what I was saying, that I think that there is a good in the idea of mikdash, that mikdash, in terms of creating an awe of mikdash and the idea, the concept that mikdash is elevated through korban of the guy. So when the guy brings a korban, it's still an idea that the mikdash is and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are being shown respect. And that in itself is the philosophy of mikdash, that mikdash is supposed to create an awe. So if even the guyim are relating to mikdash that way, it elevates the idea of mikdash. So I think that's the concept, that there's this balance. On the one hand, we don't trust the gavra of the guy, but on the other hand, when he brings a korban, it really functions in the framework of mikdash to create that kavod and that awe that is part and parcel of the philosophy of mikdash. So, because we want mikdash to really, mikdash should be a place that invokes a certain emotion of awe and how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And when Goyim actually bring korbanos, and they're showing that they respect this idea and they respect this makom, so that in itself elevates the idea of mikdash. So that's why I was saying that on the one hand, we accept Nedarim and Nedavos because we see it as a good vis-a-vis Mikdash. But on the other hand, we have to limit the amount of involvement of the guy in the Korban itself.
I promise it's going to be the last question. So why is it that we assume that the guy has good intent when it comes to the Mikdash, but we can't make that assumption with the Korban? Like, what is inherently, you know, what connects the guy to the Mikdash versus the Korban?
Say that again one more time. Sorry, say the question again.
Sorry. So we make the assumption that the goy has good intentions or proper intentions when it comes to the mikdash, or allow him or her to have that intent or bring that korban because of the mikdash component.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't make that assumption with the korban. Like he cannot connect properly to the korban. We can't make that assumption. Why is that?
Because the idea is that if he connects with the korban, the flaw of him using the korban as an outlet for his desire to worship Avodah Zarah, or as a distortion of the idea of korbanos. Like, for example, he might think that the korban is an appeasement, just like Ovdei Avodah Zarah think that they're actually feeding the gods. So if the guy is allowed to be involved in the korban, it has the potential for him to use the korban in that way. But when we remove him from korban, we just have him say Olah LaHashem, but the korban is almost removed from him. The only way he's related is by creating the designation. So we say the korban exists on its own. It's almost like it's as if the guy creates it, but now he's like out of it, and the korban exists on its own as a means of producing this kavod. So I would say that the fear is that if we allow the guy to bring a shlamim, let's say, so the guy's gonna distort it and think it's an appeasement, or think that it's really something to feed the gods. But if we remove the korban from him, we don't allow him to do smicha. We don't really allow him to relate to the korban itself. We just allow him to create the korban, so then the korban itself can function in the capacity of creating this kavod in the mikdash. I don't know if that answered it, but I think so.
Perfect.
All right, great. I think it answered it. All right. So let me just summarize the shir quickly. So the main idea of the shir is tied to the korbanos of a guy. And really the question was, from this week's Parsha, the question is, what's the nature of a korban of a guy? Is it the same as a Jew? Is it different than a Jew? And first we went into this Ramban, which I think is beautiful, where he talks about the difference between a neder and a dava, and it's not just a word difference or a halachic difference, but it's a conceptual difference, that a neder, according to the Ramban, is given when a person feels like they owe it to Hashem for saving them, for taking them out of a situation, whereas a nedava is just a feeling of giving, of generosity. So the Ramban says that you might have a havamina that because a nedava is just generosity, so you can bring a balmum. The guy can bring a balmum. Kamash malon, no, it has to be tamim. Meaning just because you're dictating when to give it and how you give it doesn't necessarily mean that the korban doesn't have objective standards that it must conform to. So the chiddush is that all korbanos have to conform to certain objective standards. That was the first point. But the main question, that was kind of a side point. The main question is, what is the idea of a korban of a guy, and why is it so limited? And we saw all the limitations in the Rambam and the Gemaras in the sense that the guy can only bring an ola, and he can't bring a shlamim and asham. And the Rambam, we had a question on, his source for it. He brings the wrong pasuk. And then furthermore, even an Ovid Avodah Zarah guy can bring it, but we see by a Jew are much more strict. So why are we different? And then the last point was the smicha and the nesachim. Why don't we let the guy do smicha? Why isn't that tolerated by a korban? And then we looked at the other idea, the korban, that there's an isser for a guy or for us to be makriv, the korban of a guy with a mum. So, why do we need a separate isser on that? So the mefarshim give different havaminas, like the idea the Sforno says that it's an idea in Sirus that straying and castration. Neutering and spaying the animal are really looked at as a good thing in the Gaius framework, but we don't accept their framework of korban. Or Rashi has a similar idea that they're allowed to bring anything that's not mechus or evar, lacking a limb, so maybe they could bring that to the mikdash kamash mal, and they can't. But what's the real idea of a separate isser here? So I wanted to say that the nature of the korban itself is different by a guy than it is for a Jew. It's fundamentally different. By a Jew, the idea of a korban is for the Jew to relate to the korban, and through his relationship to the korban, gain the philosophical benefits of korbanos, which is to identify, to do tshuva, to bring a toda. And the whole idea of korban, majority of the idea, is the Jew's relationship to korban. By a guy, it's the exact opposite. The guy's korban only exists in the framework of creating this awe of the mikdash, of creating a kavod habayis. But when it doesn't do that, obviously it's not allowed by Baal Mum. But that's why the guy is limited in the terms of the type of korban, and even an Ovid Avodah Zarah can bring a korban. Why? Because the korban of a guy is one where the guy creates it as a halachic entity, but he's not involved in it at all. It's just a korban that exists, and once it exists, it can be brought. But the guy cannot be involved. He can't do smicha, and that's why we explained that he can be an Ovid Avodah Zarah and bring it, because there's an indication there in that halacha that the guy is removed. He's separated from the korban. If he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, we wouldn't allow him to bring it because of the possibility of using it in the wrong way, distorting it, relating to it improperly. But because the idea of a korban of a guy is removed from him. It's really a din in Mikdash, and it's an idea in demonstrating awe of the Mikdash itself. So therefore, we allow it. We tolerate it. But we would tolerate it within a certain boundaries, within restrictions. So I think that's the main philosophical idea. And I think that Barbanel and the Chinuch are kind of highlighting that, because the Barbanel says that he can't eat with the Kohen and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it's inappropriate for him to be involved in this Korban and to engage in it with the Kohen. So he has to be removed. He can't be engaged in it. He can't be involved in it. And the Chinuch says the Isser is in the din and the bias, that the Isser of bringing a Balmum of the guy to the Mikdash is a din and the bias, that the bias is, it's a lack of kavod for the bias. So the very, I was trying to take that idea and show it's the opposite, that the very idea and identity of a Korban of the guy is really a din in the Mikdash or the Mishkan, in highlighting the greatness of the Mikdash and the Mishkan. All right? So, everybody have a good Shabbos. Any other questions? Yes.
Am I going to do it?
Yeah.